This is Jay Sekulow, big victory out of the Supreme Court involving the Peace Cross in Maryland.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
This is a very fractured decision. It appears to be a 7-2. Justice Alito writing for the majority here. And essentially, this cross is the big war memorial from World War I. It stood about 100 years outside of Washington, D.C., here in suburban Maryland. And for now, it looks like that cross is going to stay put.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This is what Justice Alito says at the end of his decision in this case. He said the cross is undoubtedly a Christian symbol, but that fact should not blind us to everything else that the Bladensburg cross has come to represent.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, a Supreme Court decision that has as many opinions almost as there are justices, but as you just heard, a 7-2 decision on the merits of whether the Peace Cross, the Brandenburg Peace Cross, can stay. It does stay. This was a lawsuit brought by the American Humanist Association. It's been in place, the Brandenburg Peace Cross, since 1925. It has stood as a tribute to 49 area soldiers who gave their lives in the First World War. So it was a World War I memorial. 89 years after the dedication of the cross, a lawsuit was filed challenging its constitutionality. The challenge was that people were, the plaintiffs were offended just knowing the cross was there. That was an offense to them. Seven justices of the Supreme Court said that cross is constitutional.
And this is a cross, again, it's been there since 1925. Stood as a tribute to, it was specific to the 49 area soldiers in this part of Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C., who gave their lives in the First World War. And you talked about the 89 years, you've got this lawsuit by the angry atheist, and that's what they are. They get sick when they see these memorials. They feel like outsiders when they see these memorials. The truth is, our country and places like, we were just celebrating the 75th anniversary of D-Day, are filled with these kind of religious memorials. And as Justice Alito said, just because it's a cross, you don't start taking down the arms of the cross or removing it and changing the memorial because of that. So what I think is, even though you've got all these different opinions, it's 7-2 out of the U.S. Supreme Court that this cross remains in Bladensburg, and it's good for other monuments like it because it shows that there is a big majority on the court that says we don't start tearing down memorials from the 1920s and 1930s. Now, Justice Kavanaugh did bring up a good point. He said in his brief, he said, you know, how long, or I think it was Justice Gorsuch, actually, he said, in his opinion, how long is long enough for a memorial? And that is something the Supreme Court, again, Supreme Court saying, well, this is really old, so it's not really an issue. That's where, like, Justice Breyer, who is more liberal on the court, did not join Ginsburg and Sotomayor, but instead was for the cross, so was Kagan, with this historical argument.
Yep.
But again, when does something become historical enough? And one of our previous cases was also cited by the lead opinion writer, Justice Alito, who delivered the court's opinion today.
Yeah, so we'll get into that after the break. Justice Alito used our opinion in the case I argued almost 10 years ago, the Pleasant Grove case involving the Ten Commandments monument. On page 6 of the opinion, it reads, although we do not know precisely why the committee chose the cross, it is unsurprising that the committee and many others commemorating World War I adopted a symbol so widely associated with that wrenching event. So again, Professor Hutchinson pointing to the history, the symbolism of the cross representing a symbol of sacrifice, more than just a, it's of course a religious symbol, but even more.
Absolutely. And it's important to note, given the history of this particular monument, that this statue, this monument, has acquired additional historical significance. Tearing it down would not be a neutral act by the government.
Yeah, and they said that too, by the way. That would show hostility towards religion, which the Establishment Clause actually prohibits. So, big win. We'll talk more about it. We'll take your calls about it. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, your support of the American Center for Law and Justice makes a difference, not just in cases like this. We filed this friend of the court brief on behalf of the American Center for Law and Justice, but also on behalf of Lieutenant General Robert Blackman, U.S. Marine Corps retired, in support of the petitioners. Successful conclusion to the cross case in Maryland. Back with more, including your calls, in just a moment. Again, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Yes, well, it's interesting. Jordan just said he went to the Drudge Report, and what do they have?
The sub-headline on the Supreme Court upholding the cross on public land, which is important right there, is that in italics it says, defeat for atheists. I think this is a huge, this American Humanist Association is one of those angry atheist groups that wants to strip our country of our Judeo-Christian heritage, even going so far as to try and take down war memorials. And this one specifically was more like a gravestone to these 49 from the Bladensburg, Maryland area who served and died in World War I and whose bodies were not necessarily returned. It was not an easy process then to return bodies back to the United States. And so I think Kelly Shackelford is joining us now as well. So, Will, yeah.
Well, Kelly, congratulations on your case here. This is a big decision. Give us your reaction.
I'm thrilled, Jay and Jordan. We felt like we were going to win because – if they tear down this memorial, they've got to go into Arlington and tear down. They got to go everywhere and tear down memorials. And so we felt like we were going to win, but we didn't know if it was going to be big or small. And I don't know if you've been able to parse the opinion yet, but this is big. The court said there's no longer applying Lemon.
Let me ask you about that, because that was one thing I've read, as much as you could read in the few minutes we had before we went on air. So you've got, I said there's almost as many opinions as there are justices here. Yeah. So as to the Lemon test, are there five justices, it looks like there are, saying Lemon does not apply?
That there are. There are five that say that, and I think the terminology is monuments, memorials, or practices of longstanding history are presumptively constitutional, and Lemon is not appropriately applied in those type of cases. So we have our first hole blown through Lemon, which you and I both know has been a bad case that has led to all these attacks on religious freedom for 50 years. This is a great step in the right direction that I think we can now build on in other areas as well.
You know, one of the things I was heartened by when the oral arguments took place was that Elena Kagan seemed to be in favor of keeping the monument up there. So and also Justice Breyer. And actually on these cases, surprisingly, oftentimes they've gone the right way. So it always doesn't fall on ideological lines. Justice Ginsburg's dissent, not particularly surprising with her view of it. What do you think the biggest takeaway here is, Kelly, on this case?
Well, it's we've got the 7-2 to uphold the memorial, but the thing we were looking for is can we really start to finally take a leg out from under Lemon? Because that's why the attacks on our nativity scenes, our religious symbols, and so we didn't know if we were going to get five to do that. They could have just said we're going to uphold this monument, but for five of them to say you know, look, Lemon is no longer going to be applied here. It's not workable, and we're going to consider our monuments, memorials, and longstanding practices like prayer before governments, et cetera, presumptively constitutional. We now have Lemon one of the legs of the stool knocked out from under it, and I think it's just the beginning where maybe we can get back to the Constitution and away from what we all know is a bad case that's been used to sort of create a hostility to religion.
I mean, so many of the cases we've had over so many years, if you fall on the so-called Lemon test, Justice Scalia
that's
called
right.
it like a ghoul in a late-night horror show. It keeps shuffling around, and every time you put a stake in its heart, Justice Scalia said, it kind of they bring it back from the dead only when they want to scare, he said, little school children in Santa Maria School District. I thought it was interesting also, Kelly, and that the appreciating the history of what the cross represented here. I think that was important so that these decisions, when they're looking at a symbol that is clearly religious, I mean, no one denies that a Star of David or a cross is religious, but that it's more than just a religious symbol.
That's exactly right, yeah. I mean, everybody knows what that cross was up for. It was up for those 49 men who died in that county, and I think it really was ridiculous that we keep having these attacks on our veterans memorials and, you know, any of the religious. And Ginsburg's dissent shows you how wrong this is. I mean, in her world, no religious symbols would be allowed across America. And that is not our country. We have religious symbols. We have secular symbols. We are religious people. We're the religious heritage. But we don't go and sniff out all the religious monuments and bulldoze or sandblast any religious phrases off of our, monuments and memorials.
Yep.
So her approach was really wrong, and I'm really glad that the court is finally moving in the right direction. And I think it's because we're getting more and more justices on the court who really feel like their job is to follow the original meaning of the Constitution, and as we do that, we're getting back to a better religious freedom that our country was
based on. I think there's also something significant here. You're talking about some contemporary events impact Supreme Court decisions. So Justice Alito, in his opinion, cites to the tragic fire at Notre Dame, he says, the recent tragic fire at Notre Dame in Paris provides a striking example. Although the French Republic rigorously enforces a secular public square, the cathedral remains a symbol of national importance to the religious and non-religious alike. Notre Dame is fundamentally a place of worship and retains great religious importance, but its meaning has broadened. For many, it is inextricably linked with the very idea of Paris and France. Speaking to the nation shortly after the fire, President Macron said that Notre Dame is our history, our literature, our imagination, the place where we survive epidemics, wars, liberation. It has been the epicenter of our life. I think that is a very significant statement. We're going to go to Harry and Andy on that. Harry?
I think you're precisely correct. I think Justice Alito is precisely correct. And at the end of his opinion, he makes the following claim. The cross is undoubtedly a Christian symbol, but that fact should not blind us to everything else that the Bladensburg cross has come to represent. So he's saying that a Christian symbol can represent more than religion. That's important for our heritage, it's important for patriotism, and it's important for binding us together as a nation.
But also, Andy, pointing out the history here makes a big difference.
I'm glad you cited the language and the opinion regarding Notre Dame de Paris, and it's important that we realize that the entire name of the cathedral is Notre Dame de Paris, Our Lady of Paris. Do you know the historical significance, the breadth and depth of the significance of that cathedral for Paris and for epicenter as the epicenter of the nation on the Lutetia, the island that the Romans founded, and the significance of that in history should not be lost, as President Macron said. The same thing applies to crosses and symbols in the United States.
Yep.
The significance of those must not be lost, not as religious emblems or symbols, but as symbols of the unity of the nation in our past.
So, Kelly, to you, congratulations on a job well done. You fought a long time on this case. I mean, this case seems to be, I think we go back decades on this case, but a great conclusion. Congratulations. And for those that don't know about Kelly's great organizations, First Liberty, go to firstliberty.org. We've been good friends for a long time, but Kelly, again, congratulations. Job well done.
Hey, thank you, Jay. It's been great battling together, and it's great to get a significant victory here.
Yep.
for the whole team.
Great team effort. Thank you very, very, very much.
I was going to just echo what Kelly said, and this is that the shift in the court. So you think, we talked a lot about politics. We've had the president launch his official campaign. Tuesday night. We've had the first Democrat debates begin next week. This is key. What Kelly said is that you're seeing a change in the court, a shift away from the Kennedys and those kind of more in the middle approaches to the Gorsuches and to the Kavanaugh approaches. I mean, these are different ways of looking at, especially when it comes to religion in the United States and our Judeo-Christian values and heritage in the United States. These were there was a period of time in the 60s and 70s during the Lindman test. I mean, these were losing cases.
You would lose these, absolutely.
You probably wouldn't even try to appeal them to the Supreme Court because you would lose. But this is how big of a shift there's been. And if you don't believe that elections have consequences, come November 3rd in 2020, there's going to be more Supreme Court justices to appoint whoever gets elected president.
No question about it.
And the way this will balance, I mean, again, you got 7-2 here, but it could easily go back to being these 5-4 type cases with a couple more vacancies on the court.
So I'm just going to go to Fan in Washington. So you talk about this, you tie it right into the judicial nominations. This is a big example where those judicial nominations make a big difference. These two justices realize it. Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, key votes here.
Yeah, well, first of all, Jay, I would just say my family and I live in Prince George's County. This was a memorial to our fallen neighbor, so a big victory. But you're right. I mean, we've said this time and time again on this broadcast, Jay. All of the other issues that we talk about, maybe the longest-lasting legacy of these first 2 years of the Trump administration will be not only the justices, but the dozens of judges that have been nominated to circuit courts, another half dozen confirmed to district courts just this week, Jay. Look, there's a long way to go, but if there's another term here, if there's another 6 years of these judges, I mean, even the Ninth Circuit, Jay, of all things, even the Ninth Circuit, we might start getting favorable rulings out of. This is a very big issue. The makeup of the court, more rulings like this will follow if more of these justices are nominated.
I'm holding in our hand, my hand, the copy of the brief that you helped us file in this case. This is called an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief. They're bound and they're printed, and it was successful. And those of you who've been supporting the ACLJ for a long time, let me give you another thank you on that. In this opinion is cited a series of cases, including the Pleasant Grove case, which is a case I argued on behalf of our American Center for Law and Justice at the Supreme Court in 2010. And that decision came out, and a very positive decision, 9-0 in favor of a Ten Commandments monument. Justice Alito wrote the opinion in that case. He used the language of that case for this one. You build precedent upon precedent. That's what's at play here. So when you support the work of the ACLJ, you see the benefit of it even decades later. So go to the ACLJ now. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And also check out our friend Kelly Shackelford's website at FirstLiberty.org. We'll be back with your calls, comments, 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. If you're just joining us, the famous Peace Cross in Maryland is going to stay, a Supreme Court decision 7-2. Five justices of the Supreme Court said the so-called Lemon Test, which was this three-part test.
Yeah, we've got calls on this. We should take it. Joseph on Facebook says, what is this, Lemon Law? Is that the one involving cars that you buy that don't work well?
Let's take Dennis's call.
And Dennis calling in about it as well. So we'll answer both their questions. Dennis in Indiana online, too.
Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Jay. Hey. God bless you guys for doing God's work in the courts for us.
Thanks.
Your timing is perfect. The Lemon Law, I knew very well it didn't have anything to do with cars. Would you mind explaining what that Lemon case is?
Yeah, so the Lemon was a case. It was called the Lemon case. It was a case that came out almost 40 years ago, and it was a three-part test for whether a particular practice or symbol violated what's called the Establishment Clause, which is where this whole church-state separation notion comes out of. And it was, you had to have a secular purpose. What was the secular purpose of the cross? Was it the primary effect to endorse religion or not? Did it entangle the government with religion or not? And it made it, Harry, you've written extensively about this. The test was so unworkable that they would use it when they wanted to use it, ignore it when they wanted to ignore it. And like I said, late Justice Scalia called it a ghoul in a late night horror show.
And I think Justice Scalia was precisely correct. Basically, the test is incomprehensible. And when I used to teach law, I would argue that it was simply a test designed to bedevil law students. But no one really understood.
And frighten school board attorneys.
And precisely. So one of the things that the test doesn't seem to understand is a particular rule, monument, policy can have multiple purposes. It could have a secular purpose. It could have perhaps, it could be a Christian symbol. It could honor, for instance, the war dead, as is the case here. Now, the principal effect of the policy must not be to advance nor inhibit religion. And so the question becomes, does, for instance, the Bladensburg cross advance religion? Now, it's also important to keep in mind that individuals that have a hostility toward religion love the Lemon versus Kurtzman test in part because they can use it to block the use of religious symbols that are part of our collective heritage. And so it's very, very important that the Supreme Court develops, going forward, skepticism about the Lemon versus Kurtzman test. I think that advances freedom of religion in the United States. I think this particular test should be consigned to the dustbin of history.
I am particularly pleased with this opinion because, again, they're utilizing a case that I had argued, the Summum case, Pleasant Grove, and there's another aspect of it that I want to talk about, and it's an argument I actually made. It was this idea that when the United States accepted the Statue of Liberty from France, the group Summum that wanted to post this kind of anti-Ten Commandments monument, they said, well, if you took the monument, if you take the Ten Commandments, you got to take the anti-Ten Commandments. So I argued at the Supreme Court when I argued Summum 10 years ago that when the United States accepted the gift from the people of France for the Statue of Liberty, that if someone wants to then demand that you take the Statue of Tyranny, you'd have to do that. And Justice Alito wrote that opinion, too, and said, no, you don't, which was exactly right. And he used Summum in this case. He said, third, just as the purpose of maintaining a monument, symbol, or practice may evolve, the message conveyed may change over time. He cites Summum. Consider, for example, the message of the Statue of Liberty, which began as a monument to solidarity and friendship between France and the United States, and only decades later became to be seen as a beacon welcoming immigrants to a land of freedom. And again, it shows the nature and scope of what these arguments were. And again, what it tells you, especially those of you that support the work of the ACLJ, something we argued a decade ago is being applied 10 years later to support this cross case. And I think, Andy, it speaks again to the longevity. I mean, I've been doing cases before the Supreme Court for almost 40 years, the longevity of doing this. And that you still see these opinions coming up years, decades later.
They're not going to go away, nope. Jay, as long as you have people who don't understand history. And that's what the problem is with this humanist movement or whatever they're called, the American Humanist Association. They don't understand the significance of monuments, sacred space, history, and things of that nature, which, as you said, and quoted from Justice Alito's opinion, the Statue of Liberty begins as one thing, a symbol between solidarity between France and the United States, and it evolves into something that my grandparents and yours, Jay, who both came in through Ellis Island, they said, well, I said to my grandmother once, what was the thing that that you remember most? And in her broken English, she said, Statue of Liberty. And that was the thing that stood out in her mind,
right.
Liberty and freedom, which she was freeing from in Eastern Europe and Turkey, which they did not have.
Right.
And they see this as in the United States as something that is evocative of something that is the very fundamental heart and core of our nation, freedom. It's not a religious symbol. It is no longer that. It is a symbol of the United States of America and our history.
Let's go to Michael calling from Georgia on line one. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Thank you for all you guys do.
Sure.
And I really appreciate this about the cross. I'm a combat veteran from Vietnam.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir. And I brought my best buddy. We joined and went together. He died over there, and his family requested I bring his body back. Those crosses represent not just Christianity, but men that gave their lives, their blood, their all. And if they get that cross, they'll go after the Vietnam War Memorial, World War II Memorial. They won't stop.
Well, actually, the justices pointed to this. They talked about the cross being a symbol of sacrifice. First, these cases often concern monuments, symbols, or practices that were first established long ago. And in such cases, identifying the original purpose may be difficult, but it's not determinative as to the end result. In other words, the fact is that the cross, while it clearly is a religious symbol, which Justice Alito says is a religious symbol, but it's much more than that.
Absolutely. For some, the monument, for instance, is symbolic of a resting place for ancestors who never returned home. For others, it is a place for the community to gather and honor all veterans and their sacrifices for our nation. So it's very important to note that this monument has multiple purposes, and it provides multiple benefits to the entire community. In essence, the globalized elites want to destroy, in my opinion at least, the notion of community, the notion of a nation. And they want, in some cases, open borders. In other words, they want to destroy sovereignty and the rule of law. That's their ultimate goal, their ultimate objective.
You know, I've visited this cross. I know for our Facebook and Periscope audience, they have seen some of the video from a while back. This case has been going on a long time, like you said, Dad, over a decade, to try and fight angry atheists trying to fight to take this cross down. When we come back, we got a second half hour coming up. Continue to take your calls on this big victory out of the Supreme Court, 7-2, that the cross will remain. And again, this cross really is a large gravestone in this situation with the names of 49 soldiers who were killed, American soldiers, in World War I. Their families erected the cross. We do have some remaining calls on that. We're also going to get into the situation with Iran. The president's about to make remarks about it. A U.S. drone was struck down by missile attack by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard has confirmed that. We'll talk about this heightened tension with Iran, as well as each week more provocation from Iran that gets a step and step closer. And this time, it wasn't just a shipping vessel. It was a U.S. military aircraft. It just happened to be one that was unmanned, so there wasn't loss of life. We'll take your call. Second half hour on Iran as well. 1-800-684-3110 as we await the president's remarks.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
We will fight. Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Okay, two issues we're covering. One, Supreme Court breaking news. They have decided 7-2 that the Brandenburg Peace Cross stays in place. That's a big decision, not a violation of the Establishment Clause. So we're very, very encouraged about that. The Iranians have struck and taken down a United States drone that was in international airspace 17 miles away from Iran. And this has created quite a provocation. So we're going to be talking about both of those issues. We'll take your calls on both issues as well at 1-800-684-3110. Let's finish up the cross conversation.
Yeah.
And then with Jerry's phone call, then we'll get into the other.
Yes, Jerry calling from Rhode Island on line 3. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
Hello, team. Congratulations on your case from 10 years ago getting cited as persuasive authority. Might have been something like watching Jordan graduate law school.
There you go.
The question I had is, I seem to recall when we talked about this months ago, when that cross was originally placed, was it placed on private property and then became taken on eminent domain? Was that part of the case, a big part of the case decision?
Not on this one. Some of those have had that. This was not one of those.
This was initially private property in the 1919 when they began construction. And then it was transferred. In 1961. It wasn't an eminent domain situation. It was actually transferred in 1961 to the named party in this case, the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission. So because that transfer happened, it didn't matter. It wasn't one of those quick transfers, like while the case was happening, that they tried to quickly transfer from public back to private. This was private. And it went to public. So, again, a different kind of a situation. I think what you refer to sometimes as you think about these cases where it has been on public property, and to solve the matter, the states or the cities have donated it to private organizations to maintain.
Not this case.
That was not this case. This was about on government land. Didn't really matter that it started, the history there, that it started as private because it had been since 1960, a long time already. As on government property being maintained by the government in Maryland.
All right. Now, let's turn our attention to the situation in Iran. Jordan, let's first get an update. I want to get fans' reaction, Washington reaction to this, but what do we know exactly what's happening?
So the Iranian Revolutionary Guard has shot down a U.S. drone today, earlier, and it was flying 17 miles off of the coast of Iran, kind of near the Straits of Hormuz. And again, this is not just like flying low. This is flying very high as well. This specific drone can fly up to 50,000 feet. This is as large as kind of a civilian aircraft, so bigger than like a fighter jet. Of course, it's unmanned. The Revolutionary Guard has acknowledged that it shot down. This is the RQ-4, if you know about drones, Global Hawk drone. Here is the Navy a spokesperson, Lieutenant General Joseph Gustella. He was on the phone from CENTCOM this morning. Take a listen.
A U.S. Navy RQ-4 was flying over the Gulf of Oman and the Strait of Hormuz on a recent surveillance mission in international airspace in the vicinity of recent IRGC maritime attacks when it was shot down by an IRGC surface-to-air missile fired from a location in the vicinity of Goruk, Iran. This was an unprovoked attack on a U.S. surveillance asset that had not violated Iranian airspace at any time during its mission.
And this was the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. That's when they talk about the IRGC. Reaction in Washington right now, fan.
Well, look, Iran is admitting they shot our aircraft out of the sky. This ought to be a bipartisan response. And even Nancy Pelosi has admitted that this is a very serious mistake by Iran. Of course, she is urging caution on it. But look, I mean, Jay, Jordan's absolutely correct. The only difference here, the only reason there wasn't loss of life is because it was unmanned. That doesn't change the fact that Iran is bragging about the fact that they shot a U.S. aircraft out of the sky. This ought to be a bipartisan refutal of Iran.
President has been asked, what are you going to do? He says, you're going to find out. You're going to find out very, very soon. So we'll see what the United States' reaction to this attack on a U.S. asset is. And that's what this is. And I expect that we'll probably hear in the next couple hours, if not sooner, maybe while we're on the air. All right, we'll take your calls and comments, 800-684-3110. We're going to be back with more, including your calls, 1-800-684-3110. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard attacked, took down, U.S. asset, a drone. Back with more in a moment.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Calls 1-800-684-3110. So let's reset exactly again what has happened here over the Straits of Hormuz, which is a big international shipping area. What happened?
So the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, this is part is not disputed, shot down a U.S. drone this morning amid heightened tensions between Tehran and Washington over the collapse of the nuclear deal and the maximum pressure campaign by the United States. The Guard, here's where there is dispute. So Iran is not disputing that it did this. The Revolutionary Guard said that it shot down the U.S. RQ-4 Global Hawk drone over Iranian airspace. The U.S. said the downing happened over international airspace in the Strait of Hormuz, and this is why it's important. Take a listen. This is Lieutenant General Joseph Gustella from CENTCOM, who made the statement immediately after this attack by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard on our U.S. military. Just think about that statement right there. An attack by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that they have acknowledged on our U.S. military. Byte 30.
At the time of the intercept, the RQ-4 was operating at high altitude, approximately 34 kilometers from the nearest point of land on the Iranian coast. This dangerous and escalatory attack was irresponsible and occurred in the vicinity of established air corridors between Dubai, UAE, and Muscat, Oman, possibly endangering innocent civilians.
All right, so let's take this a step further here, and that is, are we getting reaction? I know Lindsey Graham has spoken out, Fan. What else are we hearing?
Yeah, you're getting strong reaction from those you would expect to ask the president to respond strongly. But, Jay, I actually think the most significant response here is from Speaker Pelosi. Listen to what she said. She said, the high-tension wires are up in the region. We have to be strong and strategic in how we protect our interests. Now, she did go on to say, I don't think the president wants to go to war. I think she's correct on that. There's no appetite to go to war in our country. I think she's correct about that as well. But, Jay, she concedes right out of the bat that this is extremely significant, that Iran intentionally and admittedly, and I would say even bragging about shooting our aircraft out of the sky, threatens our interest in the region. Jay, she's not been one to give the president much ground. She knows that he's got to be strong in responding to this. That's a pretty quick and swift response from the speaker.
Here's the president discussing it just now from the Oval Office during his meeting with the Canadian Prime Minister during a press gaggle. Byte 31.
This drone was in international waters. Clearly, we have it all documented. It's documented scientifically, not just words. And they made a very bad mistake.
Okay? Mr. President, how will you respond?
You'll find out.
You'll find out. You'll find out.
I mean,
obviously, you know, we're not going to be talking too much about it. You're going to find out. They made a very big mistake.
What do you think, Harry?
Well, I think it's highly interesting that President Trump made that statement while he was in the presence of Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada. Justin Trudeau's dad, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, made the same statement when the FLQ attacked Canadian interest in an attempt to drive the province of Quebec toward freedom. And so I think it's very, very important that the president holds his cards closely in his hand, and we will find out what he intends to do later, as opposed to giving the Iranians advance warning. That, I think, is quintessentially important, and I think I certainly hope he delivers on this promise.
We're going to take your phone calls on this 1-800-684-3110. I mean, what do you believe should be the next step with Iran? How much do you take before you have to respond, not just by economic sanctions, but with some kind of military or covert action, I guess? Some would be very upfront, you know, a military action that's very public, or covert action that we've seen taken against Iran before in the past on their nuclear systems, the bug that went into their whole nuclear systems. Is it something like that that is more destructive that the U.S. should do? So more cyber, or do you believe it's time for an overt action against Iran? I want to take your calls on that, 1-800-684-3110, because one of those overt actions could be taking out this specific missile system. It's an air defense system known as the Third of Khordad. We know where it was because the CENTCOM said they tracked it. It's in Gorouk, Iran. Right. It is a system that's based off trucks, but is in a specific area that is it's usually in the same area. It can only fire up to, so we get a kind of idea of how far in the air this drone was, not just how far off the coast it was of Iran, but this specific missile system that Iran operates can only fire up to 18 miles into the sky. So this drone has the capability of being, very high.
Yep.
But this would be, you know, of course, within the range. So it makes sense that this is the missile system that would take down this drone.
So the question then, I think, and Andy, this is interesting, is the president's being very calculated in not saying what he's going to do. You don't tell the enemy before you're going to do what you're going to do. It's okay for the media to ask, but I'd say you'll see very soon, I think, is the better response.
That's quintessential Trump.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything until I decide, based upon all the information that is given to me by military leaders, whether I'm going to take a direct attack against these trucks who are carrying these missiles, whether I'll do a cyber attack, whether I'm going to do it overtly or covertly, is something that I'm contemplating and thinking about. This is a very calculating and carefully planning president.
So Carl on Facebook said, is this an act of war? Technically, under the laws of war, certainly.
It is.
No question about that. I mean, it would constitute an act of war. Now, are we getting, are senators starting to issue statements then, and we're right now just kind of a wait and see?
Yeah, well, they're getting a full briefing this afternoon, both on the House side and the Senate side. But I did think it was interesting that the Speaker actually came out and wanted to wait for that briefing before issuing a criticism. That's not been her habit. Jay, but two quick things. I mean, Jordan's correct. Whether it's overt or covert, I mean, you can't let something like this happen where an enemy shoots down your aircraft without some type of response. So I think the president is correct. Secondly, just very quickly, you know, there's this alleged dispute over where the aircraft was. Jay, I don't really think there's any dispute. I don't think there's any civilized country on the face of the planet that believes the Revolutionary Guard over CENTCOM. I think we know where that drone was.
And you think, and the United States knew exactly where that drone
and
was.
And I think the U.S.
And so did the Iranians.
The U.S. would not be so bold in its statement saying that it wasn't over Iranian airspace.
If it was.
Because if it was, I'm sure we have drones that are over Iranian airspace. You just wouldn't even add that. Because you no need to get into that discussion. You just wouldn't go there. You would acknowledge a drone was, and it wouldn't have been as big of a deal to the U.S. military, likely, that if Iran did take down one of the drones, it was violating their airspace. That's not as offensive of an attack.
Right.
That's more defensive. This becomes an offensive action by Iran. Let's go to Nancy's call in California. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Nancy in California, you're on the air.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi there.
Hey.
So I probably would not have thought of something like this 5 years ago, but my mind goes into suspicion. So with all of the junk that we know with other countries, my mind goes to, is this a conspiracy with somebody because elections are coming up?
No.
They want to make Trump look like he's going to war. And
no,
then
this is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard and the Ayatollahs deciding that their economy is melting.
Yes.
That they, the maximum pressure campaign that we've been talking about for a year and a half or 2 years that the president put forward on Iran is working. That the European Union is not doing business with Iran anymore either. And they take an act of provocation. What they're going to get is a real response. And this is not going to be a tepid response, I suspect. Only the president and his immediate advisors know what that response will be, but I suspect it's going to be pretty dramatic. Now, Sandra Smith from Fox News asked this question to Representative Lee Zeldin. Here's what he said.
How specifically do you want to see us respond to the latest developments?
Well, first, we need to continue to make it absolutely clear to Iran that we will have zero tolerance for the targeting of the United States, of United States personnel, of United States national security interests. When you attack the United States, it's very different than a situation where they might be aggressive in a neighboring country. We're concerned about that, but you know, as far as red lines on our end, there should be a military response if we are attacked by Iran.
So here's to understand something. Even though this was an unmanned drone, this was an attack on a U.S. asset, and there would have been people dead if it was a manned aircraft. It's the size of an aircraft. Don't get this confused with what you're seeing flying around your neighborhood.
No. This is as big as
we got a picture of it we can put up for our
even
audience.
Even the picture doesn't
say that again.
It's like a Boeing 737.
Yeah.
Yeah,
about the size of
the
wingspan. Pretty big aircraft wingspan.
Yeah. I mean, so this is, again, it's the one step before actually taking of life. And Iran, I think, knew that. So it's the one next step. So you've taken out oil tankers that aren't, you know, directly part of the U.S. military. You have, but again, is a provocation against the U.S. and U.S. interest. You've taken out six of those in the previous couple of weeks. And a pipeline by a drone attack. Now you have fired directly and taken down a U.S. drone operating in international airspace, endangering not just the U.S., but Gulf states who have commercial air flights in these regions, including in Oman and Qatar. And those are, again, the UAE. Those are major international airports with flights that connect throughout the world. They connect the world through those airports, and it put those commercial air flights, as CENTCOM said, in danger as well. So you're talking not just about the U.S., but our allies as well in the Gulf. Right. Coalition forming, if you will.
I think that's right. All right, we're taking your calls when we come back from the break. Get your comments in on Facebook as well. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture. and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's go right to them. Talking about the situation with Iran taking down a U.S. drone and what the president, the United States, response is going to be. He said you're going to find out very soon.
Yes. Bill in Wyoming on line two. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bill. Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just want to take what, claim what you gentlemen have been saying is the fact that Iran needs to realize that there is a new sheriff in town. He's going to draw a red line, and if they cross it, there's going to be something happening.
Andy, there was a red line, and they did cross it. It was a U.S. asset that was taken down.
And something is going to happen because this president is not going to sit idly by as President Obama did before. He drew a red line, a line in the sand, didn't he? They crossed it, and what did he do?
Nothing.
He did nothing.
It took to the President Trump, actually, who honored that red line and responded to that chemical weapons attack, the red line that President Obama drew. That he did nothing about when the Assad regime used chemical weapons on its own people. President Trump honored that red line when it was done again. And remember, he while with the Chinese leader sitting right there in Mar-a-Lago, 65 Tomahawk missiles were fired into Syria. And so, again, I think it's important to point out, and the videos being released of the drone, the U.S. is releasing this. I mean, this is the evidence of an attack. This is different than like Iraq. It's different even than like Afghanistan, where you knew that they were harboring terrorist assets that had carried out the 9/11 attacks. It's different than a weapons of mass destruction situation. And I believe too that this president, as the caller said, you know, the new sheriff in town has already changed so much, pulled out of the nuclear deal, destroyed the Iranian economy, and has given Iran the two options: either de-radicalize,
right,
and stop your nuclear program, or face financial ruin. They have now gotten to the point of financial ruin. So the question is, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which is also a business, are they willing to die for their business? That is the big question.
Yeah, and I think the answer to that is they're going to find out what our response is going to be very soon. Now, here's what General Salami, this is their general, this is what he said. The Iranians.
Those who defend the borders of the Islamic nation of Iran will react in a total and decisive way to any intrusion by foreign elements on our land. Our borders are our red line.
Except it was not in their borders, number one. It was not an intrusion by foreigners in their land. But that's the prerequisite, that's the narrative, Harry, that they're trying to establish.
Absolutely. And so I think we should be wary of everything the Iranians say. And we should question the truthfulness of what they say, but we should be also prepared to respond very vigorously and unmistakably. And so I think one of the big questions for the policymakers at the Pentagon is whether or not this attack deserves a proportional response or a more than proportional response so as to deter the Iranians from future aggression and future belligerence. And I think that is the question that the policymakers face.
So, Stan, let me ask you this. So far, which I think is good, we're not having a Democratic response and a Republican response to this.
Yeah, and I think those that have been briefed are not going to respond with too much criticism from the Democrat side of the aisle because I think they know that the president's intelligence is correct. I think they've been briefed on that. Jay, look, just to push back on General Salami, I mean, the tanker attacks, that wasn't a defense of their borders. They said it was. They said that, you know, they were not responsible. Then the video proof came out that indeed they were. Now you've got the same thing. They say we were just defending our borders. And lo and behold, now the Pentagon is releasing video evidence. We've been down this road before. The last one threatened lives. Maybe this one didn't, but it certainly attacked our assets. I think when these briefings are done today, Jay, I don't think you'll have a whole lot of criticism from the Hill about a strong response.
And just report on Fox News is that the military is not just with this video, which won't tell us exactly where the drone was, but they're declassifying information rapidly. So while Congress is being briefed on classified information, I think we will have evidence by the end of the day or even maybe before the end of the day that shows very clearly on the map where the drone was, that it was in international airspace, so that it's clear to the war-weary military engagement wary American public, and a president who doesn't like wars either, who does not want to start new wars,
right.
That it is clear to all that this drone was in international airspace. Because as I said before, the U.S. military would not be making such a big deal about that fact.
Right.
If it was doing something more covert over Iran.
So here's what it was doing. Our military has already announced it, number 29.
This attack is an attempt to disrupt our ability to monitor the area following recent threats to international shipping and the free flow of commerce. Iranian reports that this aircraft was shot down over Iran are categorically false. The aircraft was over the Strait of Hormuz and fell into international waters.
So there you have it. I mean, that's exactly what. And so I think the fact that the messaging is coming out like this, that we're getting ahead of this as a government, that the president is not broadcasting what the response is going to be. But you know, Harry, in preparation, Andy, again, in preparation, and we've been with the president enough to know this, the teams in place are prepared to respond to these things, to these kinds of situations. They've all been planned out.
I believe that's correct. I believe that the American military has come up with a number of strategic objectives in the event of an Iranian attack. And so they are probably, as we speak, prioritizing which of those areas they are going to launch attacks on, or which Iranian interests will be under threat. And I think that's very, very appropriate. I don't believe this administration will be caught unprepared like the prior administration.
I was just with the president the other day, and you could just tell the way in which the president and his team put together their analysis of these kind of things. It was a very calculated response, Andy, that the president gave. You will soon see
this
what we're going to respond.
Right, Jay. This president is very strategic, very careful, analytical, calculating in his response. There's no knee-jerk reactions from President Trump to anything. He thinks about things very carefully, listens to his military commanders. This drone fell, Jay, in international waters.
Right.
It fell in international. I don't think planes fall sideways. They fall straight down like rocks. So that indicates pretty clearly to me where it was.
So, Than, from the political standpoint here, you take the politics out. This is when the United States is, you put all your political differences aside. We have an attack on a U.S. asset. We have an attack on U.S. military. That's what this is. And you have a calculated response. And hopefully we have a reasoned response from members of our political leadership. And it sounds like so far we are.
The United States was attacked, Jay. That should be a unified response, no matter who the president is, whether it's President Obama or President Trump. There should be backing to respond to that in a meaningful manner. And I would just add this, Jay. I think the president has been measured, but I would not mistake that for weak if I were Iran. It won't be a weak response.
No, I think Iran, if I was the Iranian regime right now, I'd be very concerned about what's about to come my way. There's going to be a serious response, I am sure. And I don't know what that response is going to be. But I'm sure the president and his military leaders are concluding that, have made that determination, or in the process of doing that. And I'm sure the region is on notice as well, because Israel could be a factor here. Look, Israel is always prepared for retribution from Iran.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just a critical time. Pay close attention. There's going to be, they were just reporting on Fox that the Situation Room is going to be very active at the White House, briefing on all options later on this afternoon. I think by this evening, it'll be pretty clear to know how the U.S. is going to respond. And a lot of times we do respond in the cover of night, which is when this attack occurred this morning in Iran. Again, it happened today, but very early in your time. We will talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do.